Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, and we come to you live at this time every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. Eastern. And we are blessed to have Bob Fletcher on, just a research extraordinaire. I've interviewed Bob in the past, not on this topic. And like a good researcher, he did a meticulous job in the first hour laying out the background of how he came to be interested and how he got his curiosity up about Planet X. And before we rejoin Bob, I just wanted to ask you a simple question out there. How many of you have a seed vault? A sizable seed vault? Yeah, I didn't think so. You're not blessed with the resources that the elite have. So what you're going to have to do is prepare in other ways. And I want to give you that opportunity. Foodforliberty.com/Hodges is a way to help you meet your food storage needs. And I would encourage you after the show to go up to foodforliberty.com/Hodges and take a look at the fine product line and the great food that is offered at very reasonable prices. So again, after the show, since you don't have a seed vault and you need to get prepared because you're hearing that society is fragmenting in how many different ways? Too many to count. Foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, one more time, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Bob, I want to get into the threat of Planet X, but not right away. And I want to also have the question answered, why do the elite think they're going to survive underground? How catastrophic will it be? But before we go there, I've been getting a lot of questions from our readers, and they would like to go back into and say, well, how biblical is Planet X? Is there anything we can point to in the Bible and say, it's
yes,
right here?
Yes. It's tremendously biblical. And that was the scary part, as a matter of fact, when... not scary, whatever. Another bit of information that struck me when I got into this. And again, I have to reiterate that I did the inquiries in every possible direction myself when I got into this because it was so extraordinary. And the idea being, you know, how much proof evidence can I give of this thing? And I looked in for one thing, because the Catholic Church, all right, the Catholic Church has always been involved in a lot of shady stuff. And if a person's a good Catholic and doesn't want to admit to that, well, then that's a problem. But the bottom line is they were involved with things of politics on the political side for many, many years. So I just, at an early point of my own inquiries on this thing, I looked in to the Catholic side of it, the Church, the Pope, to see what going. Because if this is as big as it is, and that is that all of the major nations of the world are doing the underground facilities, all right, and if that's going on, and they're building the seed vault, they've already got it completed for the seeds to reseed the face of the earth. All right, if this is all happening, which it is, period, end of story. The Catholic Church, the Pope, had to know about this. So I look it up. The very earliest of my research on this part of it. And I started just looking into the Pope's relationship and or knowledge related to the Planet X potentially coming in. And I found out, a little bit to my surprise, but then balanced out by the fact that I know that I guess it shouldn't have been a surprise, they built one of the first infrared telescopes in the United States. The Pope owns and built in Arizona a huge telescope in the United States, and it was infrared. And that's important because this is an infrared body. It's an infrared planet, and it's was one of the earliest ones physically in Arizona. A lot of people don't know that, don't realize, they have no idea about that at all. The Pope is completely aware of it on the Catholic side of it, and by the way, there's also been all these little things coming out of the Vatican for several years now, talking about the Pope saying, if we run across aliens, if we do find aliens, that he's going to welcome them into the church, et cetera, et cetera. Now, a few hundred years ago, they would have burned the Pope for crying out loud for even talking about something like that. So that's how far they've gone. Now, to get on the he's actually been politically involved with it, knows about it, et cetera, et cetera. Like I say, the construction and by the way, for those people that might be a little surprised, the name of that infrared telescope in Arizona, owned by the Vatican, is called Lucifer.
I know. Yeah, Mount Graham. It's east of Tucson. Yeah, we're very familiar with it here in Arizona. And you're absolutely right. And the Pope does know, and he has. Well, I'll tell you what. Watch out, Bob, because some of the hardcore Catholics are going to come after you. And I am not anti-Catholic, but the Pope has said everything that you just said. He has put into print.
Yes, yes. Everything I'm saying. And again, you know, in all of this also, everything is covered completely in the DVD. I've got the little section in there relative to all of that as well. Now,
Bob, before we go on, quickly, can you point to, just so I can satisfy the people who are writing to me, can you point to somewhere in the Bible, a scripture where Planet X is mentioned by some
Absolutely.
Name?
Absolutely. It's called Wormwood. If you can look up Wormwood in your Bible, there are several locations where it is. It is in... A shocking point, I guess, is that it's in Revelations all over the place, literally the descriptions of things that will take place, that actually will take place when Planet X passes close by, is in the Revelations I'm going to say a perfect description of what's going to be expected. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself getting into that, and by the way, all of that as well is in the DVD program as well. All of the revelations. You know, it literally says that when the time comes, that the leaders and the kings and the queens of the world will go underground into the caves of the earth to hide out. It literally says that in Revelations. It's exactly what we're talking about.
Bob, let me add this to what you just said. In Revelation 8:11, it says the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter.
Absolutely, and also there will be. When people talk about how many days of darkness will take fall upon the earth, the darkness will be the period of time where there was or will be an eclipse of the sun, and it will be a little bit long. You know, the eclipse we're commonly used to is only a few minutes. The eclipse that we're talking about here is going to be for a long period of time when it passes. Now, again, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself when I'm kind of, let me put it this way, answering your questions spills some of my beans, so to speak.
Let's unspill them and let's back up a little bit.
Okay, the point was, I guess, in terms of church, the Catholic side of it, they've been aware of it. They even have an extraordinary, strange statuette, if you will, a large statue in front of the Vatican that was put in just a couple of years ago, and it basically appears to be one planet running into another planet. It's very, very kind of a creepy thing. Nobody ever explains it. It's just out there. And like I said, the Vatican has their satellite called Lucifer, looking specifically designed to look for infrared. Most recently, as a matter of fact, what had happened, I make a few predictions in the DVDs, which were, of course, completed about 6 months ago. I predicted that the weather would become extraordinary as this thing slowly approaches, starts moving into and banging its way through our solar system. Something that I discovered while doing this, and it's all in the DVD, is that the planets, about a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago, the planets all started heating up, starting out by Pluto and coming in, not heating up from the sun back, but heating up from Pluto out and coming back inwards. The atmosphere of all of the planets has been varying. They don't understand what's going on. There are storms on the surface of some of the planets that they've never seen before. I predicted that the sun and also the increase in meteors and incoming falling stars and things of that sort would increase progressively as Nibiru comes back in. Now, as Nibiru, Planet X Nibiru, that's another combination of names for it, as Nibiru comes back in, it's kind of functioning like a bowling ball into the pins when it comes in and strikes and pushes its way from the very farthest reaches of our solar system and coming back in to come around the sun and then go back out again. The worst of it for us, the first of it, the earliest part, is going to be increase, which has already happened, as a matter of fact, increases in crazy activity on the sun. The sun is doing extraordinary things and has for about 2 years been getting worse every month. I predicted also in the DVD, and has now taken place, I predicted that you would see volcanic activity and earthquakes like we have never had in about 100 years or more, starting up again. As we speak, there is probably a minimum of 45 volcanoes that are blowing their top today. Now, it's not news. They're not telling you this stuff. You can find it if you go on your computer and specifically look up active volcanoes for this day. You will be amazed if you don't already know, if you're not already aware of it, you'll be amazed at how many there are. And they are increasing. The earthquakes also are increasing. And they're also keeping those on rather a under the table thing. It's not on the news. Once in a while, you'll see CBS or somebody will say, oh, and by the way, in Iceland, they had the biggest volcano they've had in 150 years. Or, oh, by the way, in South America. Oh, by the way, in Guam, and et cetera, et cetera. The weather, it's been 103 degrees in Idaho this summer. 103 degrees for a whole, like a week at a time. The weather in the I'm going to correct this. The weather on the entire globe will never be the same for the next 20 years. The weather has already started. The weather changes. Extraordinary cold, extraordinary hot, extraordinary floods, extraordinary droughts. All of these things have already begun, all right? And it is all because of Nibiru, even though it is still so far out it's not visible. Now, the writings of the, and let me give the credit to one person particularly and his people, a fellow named Gil Broussard. All right. He is a devout Christian, a student of theology, and has been a self-taught astronomer. He has thousands of hours on the astronomical studies. He has literally went to China and lived there for a couple of years, or I think it was a couple of years. I may be wrong there, but I think it was a couple of years, a long period of time. He didn't just pop in and visit. He lived there for a while. And he studied and found out about the emperors 1,500 years ago, the writings of the astronomers for the emperor of China that gave an exact date by day description of what they called the visiting planet, which was Nibiru, Planet X, and how it came across the sky and did its thing and then disappeared again, and all the effects that it took place when it came close by. The writings are in the Tibetan monks from the top of the Himalayas, going back thousands of years, keeping track of this thing. The Chinese, the emperors. It's been written on in the Sumerian clay tablets that were analyzed and deciphered by Mr. Sitchin, Dr. Sitchin, several years ago. He went over 2,000 of these clay tablets. They literally were written like a diary, a day-to-day description of this Nibiru coming in and what it did and then going back out again. The amazing thing that Gil Broussard has found out in his studies is he has gotten it down to the exact point in time and to say that it always comes and has. Now, there's a disagreement between two groups of students of this thing, okay? There's a kind of a disagreement, and that is whether it comes around in 3,600-year cycles, an elliptical orbit of 3,600 years, or if it comes around 360 years. If that's the case, then it has made passage 9 or 10 times in that same period of time. If not, then if it's a 3,600-year, and that's almost a very simplistic problem or a simple question, it's because the zeros, 3600, the zero was not used up until about 1,500, 2,000 years ago. In other words, if you go back numerically, they did not have zeros. They would say 3 times 6 times 100 again or something of that sort. They didn't have a zero. So when you have 3600 as a year period of time that it may be in, that last zero may be an error. Gil Broussard, who's the fellow that really has done the Christian studies of this thing, all of the biblical scriptures of other Bibles besides, but he has done the best work, in my opinion. And his analysis of this is that it always has come around. It was seen in the sky in December of the year that it would pass, and it would take December, January, February, and March, the March of the very next year, obviously, would be the worst, the closest passing around the sun. And then by April, it would be heading on out, heading back on out. He has analyzed it and has come up with an analogy of when the possible closest time might be that it would pass. And he is very, very positive in his analogy that we will see it this December. Not 50 years from now, not 10 years from now, but that we will see it this December, and that it will take January, February, and March. He says he feels around the 20th to the 26th of March will be the worst, closest point in time of next year, just after the first of the year. He said if in fact, and this is, again, an analogy of several other astronomical students on this thing, if it's not this coming March, then you can just breathe a sigh of relief and that it will not be until maybe the next year. But these guys have analyzed it and are concerned that the time is seen this December as a star in the sky. It will get bigger and bigger as it comes closer, and then it will be at its closest passing point around the sun in March. that's spooky because here's the problem. The way they've been supplying their underground hideouts, all right, they have been supplying it with the concept that they're going to utilize them this year or next year or the next 2 years sometime. They have not been supplying it leisurely. They're not putting foods in and foodstuffs and all of this stuff and material and equipment on the basis that they don't have to worry about it 20, 30 years. They're doing it in an emergency situation. I have paperwork from FEMA that was sent to a food production company a few months back, probably about a year ago now, I guess, that said, give us how many tons of freeze-dried foods, survival foods, can you supply in a 24-hour emergency notice?
Yeah, that I've heard those same reports, and I've heard that FEMA and DHS are. Yeah, I've heard FEMA and DHS are trying to buy up as much of the emergency food that is out there. So
everything they could. Now, let me switch back to some other different.
Well, Bob, we're coming up on a break here in about 1 minute, so let's bring this to a teaser point that we'll come to after the break.
All right. When we get back, I will. I'll tell you some of the things to be expected, which is all in the Bible, as well as the information as it relates to Jade Helms, and the most important point is why they've been arming all the sheriffs and the police with military equipment.
Well, it's great stuff to cover. Can't wait to get to it. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Bob Fletcher on those important points in just a moment. We need to get to this, and if we don't get all of it, I want to have you back as soon as possible just so we can do a simple Q&A. Where I can accumulate questions, but I'm just going to step out of your way. Tell us what we need to know about what's coming.
Okay, first off, the weapons, right? They've been doing feeding the military type weapons into the police and sheriffs since the 90s. I first discovered it looking at other things, you know, other investigations, totally non-related to this, and I didn't have. Let's say the whole picture, which I have pretty much at this point in time, or I feel that I do anyhow, or close to it. But the I couldn't figure out, I never thought that there was a specific direction they were going with all the feeding the weapons to all these sheriff and the police. And recently, Obama did a slick political fraudulent. Statement to try to make people feel better when they had so many complaints about these the military equipment in the hands of the sheriffs and the police departments when they had all that activity going on here a while back and still in the middle of it, I guess. He said, I'm gonna see that these police stations and sheriffs, that they want some of this better equipment. Now, actually, he's talking equipment they don't really, shouldn't normally need. Armored personnel carriers, 50-caliber machine guns, gas propelling systems, hand grenade launchers, bazookas. This is the stuff that's actually out there and has been sold at discount prices and financed by the federal government into the hands of these local sheriffs and police. Well, here's the deal. And this answers another question people ask. When are they going to tell us about this thing coming in, all right? They are never, ever going to tell the public that this is coming in. That's never going to come from the mouths of the President of the United States or his people, okay? It's not going to happen. And if you just stop and think, if it was officially made public like that, the entire globe, not just Philadelphia and Omaha, Nebraska, or Los Angeles, the entire globe of humans would go crazy. The rioting would be global, and it would be so out of control, every government on Earth would crumble under chaotic rioting the moment that something like that was made official. They're not going to do it, folks, ever. But what are they going to do? Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have martial law in the streets of the United States of America and every other major nation of the world prior to the time that this thing becomes visible. Because within 3 days of the first visible sighting of this thing, in, according to Gil Broussard and other people that are all in agreement on this, will probably be in December. Whether it's this December or another year down the road, I don't think it'll be farther than that. But they will have to have martial law. And that includes cooperation of the sheriffs and the police with militarily oriented riot control equipment that they've been putting in there since 1995. They're going to call on those departments to come along with Homeland Security and the Declaration of Martial Law. Now, it's not going to be martial law labeled Planet X or Nibiru or some similar type of an incoming galactic problem. It's not going to be labeled that. It's going to be because of the potential of World War III getting on the edge of breaking out. It'll be most likely, this is the most likely excuse, will be an outbreak of extraordinarily serious terrorist acts across the United States of America in several nations within 1 week or 10 days. All right, the 9/11 type problem in five different states.
Are they going to be distractions? Is that why they're doing them?
No.
They won't distract. I mean, if we're tied up with terrorism, Bob, we're not paying attention to the skies.
Excuse me?
If we're tied up responding to terrorist events, attacking shopping malls.
What it will be, they will carry out whatever is necessary, whether it's putting us on the brink of war with Russia or China, or Korea, God only knows, even that screwball over there, or it could be the outbreak of diseases, or most likely, again, I get back, and there's only three logical directions I can go with this, again, is what I just said, and that would be extraordinary terroristic events across the United States. They will be, and it makes no difference who carries them out, they will mostly be synthetic. They will not be carried out by ISIS. They may label it that, and that's easy to do. We're all scared to death of those crazy people doing what they're doing, you know. So it would be easy to convince people that five explosions or chemical biological weapons or anything at all. Matter of fact, they just introduced the chemical biological thing 2 days ago. They said they think ISIS used it. It's on the news 2 days ago. All right? So the point is, whatever they use, it'll be several events in America. They will declare martial law. The American people will say, oh, my God, thank goodness, because they just did this and that and that and that. Oh, boy, thank goodness they got martial law. They got people on guard for this stuff. And you'll see the sheriffs and the police and everybody. When that comes, that's the martial law that there's going to be required of them to have in place, or they're never even going to be able to get to their own airplanes or vehicles to get to their hideouts. And that's the whole point. This group we're talking about now that have been trying to put us into world government for 50 years, all right, they care nothing at all about the average guy stuck up on the top of the earth. These underground facilities that are the primary locations are away from the coastlines because of the Noah's floods over again. They're going to be away from the coastlines. A lot of them are into the side of mountains and at higher elevations, and that's where they are, and that is why they are there. Now,
this was an operation. Bob, let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure. Yes, sir.
This was practiced in 2011 in September in Denver, Colorado. with Operation Mountain Guardian, where the elite, the president, and other key corporate leaders disappeared for 3 days when they suspended air traffic at DIA and they held martial law drills in Denver. Do you recall that?
Yes, I certainly do.
But they were practicing for this, weren't they?
Yes, but let me tell you when they started to practice, going back even farther than that. As I mentioned, it was approximately 1983 when they sent that first super satellite with a telescope that was an infrared and sent back the bad news. Reagan and Bush were president, vice president. 1983, they created a program called Rex 84.
Yes.
Technically took place in the year, the following year there of 84, and that's why the title. And the REC stood for Ready Emergency Exercise, and it included suspension of the Constitution and the same thing that you're talking about, the dry runs with military on the corners and putting all of the elite into their appropriate position, or explaining at that time, teaching them how they were going to work this out, and what the who was going to go, who was on the list, and who was not. I got news, a lot of senators and congressmen are going to be surprised when they don't get their call, because a lot of them think they're going and aren't going to be under. But the bottom line is, what's going to happen when this comes in now? And I have to repeat, see, I'm not an astronomer. My side of it is the realization of all of the political stuff that fits into this thing. And again, it's not just America. It is the entire globe. It's all the major nations have been doing the same thing. The Russians created an underground facility that can hold 50,000 people. Most, and I got to repeat this, most all of everything I'm telling you here, and as a matter of fact, everything I'm telling you here and 150 other things are in the DVD. It's a four-hour library of information on this thing. Covers every aspect that you might question. It's in the DVD set. And it's, and by the way, it's $24.95 for both of them, the double set. $24.95. We pay the shipping on it. We take all credit cards, et cetera, online. Cash, check, money order if you want to send me a note. The title of it is Incoming. Incoming is the title. You've got to get this so that you understand all of it. And there's much, much more, obviously, that we can't cover in the short period of time that I've been on today. But now, let me give you a general idea of what's predicted. And also, by the way, the predictions of what's been analyzed by scientists and astronomers, what would be the potential reality that take place, it's all in Revelations. Every single part of it is in Revelations. It's mind-boggling. Here's what's going to happen according to, not me, now I'm the messenger, if you will, but according to those guys who have studied this for years. And by the way, a few years back, there was 12 of the top astronomers who were studying this were all killed simultaneously in an accident in Switzerland at a big meeting they were having, and a cable car that broke and killed all of them. So the people that were coming forward had been terminated. All right? Now, here's what basically has been analyzed in terms of the passing of this thing. As it approaches earlier, of course, the sun will totally react crazy on this thing, which it's already doing. That's what's causing a lot of the crazy problems we're having with weather and all. The Earth is expected to tilt on the axis 26 degrees that it apparently has done a couple of times previously on the previous passes of Nibiru. It yank the Earth on its axis by about 20 to 26 degrees. First thing will happen, all the satellites will pretty much be wiped out by this thing, by either the electromagnetic forces involved with it or physical bombardment of meteors that will be dragged around on the back end of this particular planet. It's calculated that Nibiru is 5 to 7 times the size of Earth. It will not hit Earth. It will pass around the sun, go around like a comet, like Halley's Comet does every 75 years, and the Hale-Bopp Comet on 4,200-year cycle. This is supposed to be a 3,600, or, like I mentioned, a 360, and there's a debate. I'm not going to get into that. It will come in, go around the sun, and we, on our regular circle, doing our run around the sun, we will go through the tail of it first time when it has already passed, gone past to go around the sun. Then we will go through the tail. It will take approximately 1 hour for Earth to go through the debris tail of this thing. It's going to be dragging with it 3 or 4 moons that are with it, supposedly, and dragging, of course, a tail of space junk that's just being drawn along with it. We will go through that. That will be an unbelievable situation of the waters being dragged out of the seabeds and moved from their common place. That's all in the Bible, all right? That's part of Revelations. The waters will be like Noah's floods again, going in on all of the coastlines. It also will accommodate the possibility of a couple of good size burning stones, as they're described. One of description in Revelations talks about a piece the size of a mountain will be flaming and crash into the sea, killing off the sea life. If we have anything the size of a mountain, it will cause tsunamis to kick up that will be extraordinarily high, possibly 100 feet high. The tsunamis travel 500 miles an hour from wherever they're initiated in the ocean. If we have even one good size meteor that strikes during the time we go through that tail of junk, we will have some serious tsunami problems. That's global, in the United States as well as the other coast areas.
How high do you expect the crest to be of the tsunami? Any estimates?
They calculate 100 feet. And it will come 500 miles an hour and go in a couple hundred miles in on each one of the coastlines.
So basically, if you're in mid-continent, if you're in the Rocky Mountains, for example, if you're listening to us in Denver, you're going to be untouched by the water. I'm not saying you're going to be untouched.
Right.
The water will not reach you.
Yeah, and if you realize, and by the way, I have a complete list on my website of all of the facilities that we're talking about, where they're located. There's about 100 of them. They're on my website.
Can you give out that website again, Bob?
Yes. It's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. BobFletcherInvestigations.com. If a guy goes on and Googles Bob Fletcher Planet X or Bob Fletcher Nibiru, you'll see 500 locations sending you to my website. It's all over the website as far as that's concerned. It's all over the Google and the computer. It's all over that. Next question. Okay, Liz, we're talking about. All right, the other problem is going to be, of course, which is also unfortunately clearly described in Revelations also, and that is where it talks about the flaming stones. They didn't know what to call them. They didn't know how to describe them when it was visualized. So they were talking about hail and brimstone from the sky. It will set a tremendous number of fires. That'll be another problem. Now, it will also, and we're starting to get this now, and it's not even close enough to be possibly seen at all, but we're already getting the volcanic activity. The other day, that fellow Cato, or whatever his name is, the real popular astronomers that's on the Oriental fellow, I don't know what his Asian fellow that has
white
hair. His name's Kaka or Kato.
Michio Kaku.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I don't have that name properly. He was on the other day on CBS and NBC, and he said that the they're anticipating a volcanic or earthquake activity along up here in what they call Cascadia, which is up closer to my side, the northwest. They're expecting Cascadia to slide at any day, and if it does, it will set up a tsunami into the west coast, Seattle, Oregon, and that whole section there in Northern California, a tsunami that will wipe out the coast. And that's quoting the astronomer that's on television all the time. And it was on news just 2 weeks ago, I think, is when it was on. Now, what has also happened that they're not even talking about, there's a volcano that started bubbling up off 300 miles off the coast of Oregon about 2 months ago. They're calling it a strange blob. I don't know why they use, that's the word they're using, a strange weather blob in the ocean causing the temperature of the ocean to go sky high and causing all the crazy weather patterns. They're blaming it, so to speak, on that. The reality is it's a global situation of earthquake movement, crust movement. The movement of the crust itself is stretching and being pressed into an extraordinary configuration, causing 2.5 to 5 to 6 point earthquakes all around the globe by the thousands. And it's mind-boggling. Now, you can look this stuff up yourself. They're not going to hand-feed it to us, but you can find all of this, again, on the web pages now. You can look up whatever you want to look up, extraordinary earthquakes this week. Just put that in, and you get the official reports of how many earthquakes and new volcanoes. Because what's happening, the crust is being stressed, and the result of that is earthquakes, and the earthquakes in, let's say, in three locations on the globe in a triangle causes the extraordinary stress to be pushing the crust. And what's happening is weak spots that used to be ancient volcanic activity is being pushed, and it's, so it's like kind of like a, like I say, a triangulation thing. And you have three semi-serious earthquakes causing stress on the crust. It goes where the pressure has to be released. It's released through a weak spot, and it's causing the reactivity of these volcanoes. 90 days ago, whenever it was, maybe it may even have been longer now, they did a new study on Yellowstone. You know, and a lot of people miss this. But it's very serious and straight out of the horse's mouth, so to speak. Although with these guys, it's probably the other end half of the time. But the point is, they've done a new study, and that huge cauldron of molten lava that they have scared us with for so many years in Yellowstone Park, that once it gets going, it would, you know, wipe out the United States. You know, with volcanic ash for like 2 years and all of that, if it blew, when it blew, they discovered that beneath it is a cauldron of lava that is, I'm trying to think of the size of, they're quoting them, would fill the Grand Canyon entire length and depth 11 times, and that's below the other cauldron. And it was the first time they've had equipment where they've been able to do like an X-ray, if you will, and get an appropriate discovery. And to their shock, they found out that cauldron we worried about that was so big that would do the number on the entire continent is apparently This other one is below it, and it's five times the size of it. It's gigantic.
My God. Well, you saw, didn't you see it? I think it was Chile. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's either Chile or Ecuador. The leader of that country today declared an emergency because of an emerging volcano.
Yeah, okay. See, and believe, and now you can take my word for this or not. There's a fella, and I've got to get his name and have it handy, that's been doing the studies on this, and did this explanation of just what I was giving you about the way the weak point is reacting to three or four earthquake movements, and the pressure is releasing in these old volcanoes. That's what you're talking about. The gentleman that has done that analogy predicted that 10 days ago and said exactly where it would be. He's finally, and now, see, there's no mainstream on this one at all. They're trying to really keep the lid on this guy, and he does a comparison on a daily basis and graphically shows you what's going on with the movement of the crust and the volcanoes and the earthquakes, and they're all interrelated. They've never been proven before, but this guy has proven it now, and what he does on a weekly basis tells you if, you know, shows you A, B, and C, and then shows you where the likelihood is for a new volcanic activity, and he has been right every time for the last 6 months. He's unbelievable. And I don't have his name, but it's
out. Does he invoke the Ring of Fire at 19.6 degrees latitude?
Well, he shows you exactly where everything's talking about on three-dimensional graphics. It's a mind-boggling website. I have to get it for you guys.
Yeah, I'll be in touch with you about that.
Yeah,
Bob, just real quick, a programming note. We're going to blow through the top of the hour break if it's okay with you, and I want to keep you an extra 10 minutes. We still got to do our health report, and we've got a guest at the bottom of the hour. But this, I have a couple of questions. I knew you would. I knew you would, but I have a couple of questions that a lot of people in the listening audience are writing to me and say, ask Bob, if you don't live on the coast, what's the greatest threat to your survivals or greatest threats to your survival if you live inland? For example, I live in the Phoenix area, or people in Denver, Chicago, St. Louis. What's the biggest threat?
Okay, the very likelihood of complete burn-up of our electrical supply system, the elimination of electricity is going to put us back in the caveman times for a while.
It's going to be like an EMP.
It is worse. It's going to be it's the maximum EMP, because you're going to have meteoric activity. You're going to have things coming in. You're going to have a gravitational and electromagnetic force that we have never experienced in anyone's lifetime in at least 350 years. All right, and back then they didn't have the electrical problem. Today, when the electricity goes out and everything no longer runs, that's going to be a big problem. The second will be fires and volcanic activity, because it's going to cause, the gravitational effect is going to yank the waters up, like I said, like Noah's floods to the coast, and the areas where near antiquated volcanic activity is going to be reactivated. It's already happening, and it's very small now. God only knows what it will be when this thing comes close by. Oh, and something I wanted to mention. When we go through the tail of it the first time, and it goes around behind the sun, it will be 155 days, it will go back out the other side. It will take that long. And we will pass a second time through the tail of that thing. So, and by the way, that's 155 is basically the 5 months of hell that's described in the Bible, again in Revelations, as the 5 months of extraordinary turmoil from the face of the earth. That's the 155 days it will take for this thing to pass the second time and start heading back out to Never Never Land.
How much the first time? How long will it take us to get through the tail?
We go through the tail, it will take 1 hour both times, and that's just simple mathematics of the width of this thing versus the speed that we go around the sun.